This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A player like Louis Robert always gets a lot of attention. We're really happy where he's at and how he approached spring training and how he's performing, and expect him to perform at a very high level. And, you know, we're going to support Louis. And I know that oftentimes he gets asked questions whether, he's going to be traded. But I've been really impressed with how he's been able to remain focused on his craft. He's very motivated to get out and get this season rolling for 2025 and show the baseball world what he's capable of doing.
Chris Getz and we have a White Sox lineup we want to tell you about as the midday show is live from Wings and Rings on the south side on Halstead as we get you ready for opening day. Come by, enjoy an ice cold Yingling before the game. Brought to you by Yingling. Yingling, America's oldest brewery. And check out the newly remodeled Wings and Rings right here at 3434 South Halstead. Open 7 days a week, the Southside's premier sports restaurant experience. Free shuttle service to all White Sox home games with proof of purchase and free parking in the back. And every Wednesday at Wings and Rings, $5 premium drinks all day. AJ Pierzynski joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. AJ from Foul Territory. I feel like we're making this a yearly tradition, AJ. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Happy opening day. It should be a national holiday for me. If I had one thing to say, I would like it to be a national holiday.
I'm with you on that. That sounds like a phenomenal idea. I need another day off, but apparently they would still want me to work today, so I guess it wouldn't work that way. AJ, what are you most excited about when you think overview 2025 Major League Baseball season?
The games are starting, and the positive momentum that baseball has right now. I was fortunate enough to call the Japan series in Tokyo for the Cubs and the Dodgers for Fox. And wow, if you can't get excited after seeing the crowds and the excitement for those two games, or even at 5 in the morning in Chicago, but over in Japan and with their players and what they have going on, then I don't know what gets you excited. And then the baseball season. But the amount of teams that can win, I know everyone's going to say, oh, the Dodgers are better than everybody else, which they are. But they also have, no one's won back-to-back in a long time, 25 years. So I love the parity that's in baseball and the opportunity for a lot of teams to win.
No, I think that's fair. And I really enjoyed your call alongside Adam Amin and just the way you guys were able to call and observe the game. I know that's not easy. I know it's been done with COVID, but I appreciated how you brought in just inside information and just your commentary that you could, doing a really nice job of making us feel as close to Japan as you possibly could. What were your takeaways from just that experience for you?
How tired I was when I had to talk to Dave Roberts at 2 a.m. I actually didn't get to talk to Craig Council the first game because I missed the phone call because it was at 1:30 a.m. and I was in Central Time. And the person who was in charge, I'm not going to throw him under the bus, told me 2:30. So I thought it was 2:30 my time. It was actually 2:30 Eastern. So I missed the Craig Council call, but the 5 a.m. on the air, let's go live from wherever we are. Was amazing. It's amazing the technology you have. But thank you for the kind words. It was a fun 2 games to get to do. And we're proud of what we did for where we were located. Of course, would I have rather been in Tokyo? 100%. Who wouldn't like a trip to Tokyo to go watch baseball and eat good food?
No, I'm with you on that. What do you feel like you learned? Or is it too early to say you learned much about the Cubs from watching those 2 games?
I learned the White Sox have a better record than the Cubs do right now. So. All you Cub fans out there, as White Sox fans, we're going to hold on to that as long as we can, right? After last year where they set the all-time record for losses. I learned that the Cubs are going to be an entertaining team, and they're going to be interesting. Imanaga is going to be good. Justin Steele is going to be fine. He had a little hiccup there. I love the starting rotation for the Cubs, with Taillon and the other 2 guys I just mentioned. I love the Presley acquisition. I think the bullpen will be better. I just want to know. I love the Kyle Tucker acquisition. I just don't know if they still have enough offense. That's going to be my question for these guys the whole year is, what does Matt Shaw do? He hit 5th in his first 2 games, right? Matt Shaw, yes, I know he put up numbers in the big leagues, but Triple-A is not the big leagues. I want to see it. I need to see what they get out of the catcher. I want to see which Dansby Swanson they get. And how do they replace Cody Bellinger? I know he wasn't, you know, he was up and down, but is Pete Curl Armstrong defensively, he'll be fine. But offensively, can he cover what you lose in Cody Bellinger?
I think we're both aligned on that and trying to see what exactly they have offensively. But when you said you don't know if they have enough offense, are you saying to make the playoffs or to go anywhere once they get to the playoffs?
Well, I think they should win the division. I picked them to win the division, as much as that pains me inside to say that. Because I look at their division, and it's not the greatest division in the world, right? Pittsburgh's still the Pirates. The Brewers have lost so much. At some point, they've got to come back to the mean, right? The where they're supposed to be. The Cardinals aren't trying, it looks like. They're just like, yeah, we don't care. We're going to get 2.5 million, 3 million fans. We don't care anymore. And the Reds, what are we going to get out of them? I know Tito's there, Terry Francona, new manager, but what are the Reds going to be? We don't know. So I think the Cubs are the surest thing in that division. Now, can they make a deep run in the postseason? I don't know. The National League is damn tough. I know that.
No, yeah. I think everybody feels the same way when it comes to just the National League and how the challenge in and of itself might provide a little bit of different results than you might see out of the teams that you expect. But I want to go back to something because you're trolling Cubs fans. I swear I heard you with a pro Cubs call an observation on that home run that was looked like it could have been fan interference. I swear I heard you with pro Cubs thought. I thought you thought it was fan interference.
Yes, I did. I did think it was fan interference. Listen, I am not actually mad at Cubs fans or any Cub player. Maybe, well, there might be one I don't like, but the rest of them I'm okay with. And I just love the rivalry. I think it's a great rivalry. I played in a lot. I played in Red Sox, Yankees, you know, Cardinals, Cubs. I played in Dodgers, Giants, all the big ones you can think of. And to me, Cubs, White Sox was still the best one that I played in. And I love giving, you know, grief in a good hearted way to Cub fans. So yeah, I thought it was fan interference. I didn't think it was going out, but you know what? It was Tokyo. It was Shohei. So of course it was a home run.
So looking at the White Sox, the team that obviously you prefer over the Cubs here in Chicago, what do you make of what they're throwing out there to start this season after all the hoping that we had done that we're going to get to see some nice young prospects out of the gate? It looks like we're going to have that delayed for a month or so at minimum. What do you think about what Will Venable has to work with here on opening day?
I'll say this. They'll be better than they were last year. They're going to be better than they were last year. People don't realize how hard it is to lose 121 games. It's obviously never happened in the history of baseball. So they're not going to do that again. Are they still a 100-loss team? More than likely, unless everything goes perfectly right. But I want to see some of these young kids. I want to see the same people that you guys, you know, Colson Montgomery, Noah Schultz, Hagan Smith, all these guys that we've heard about, Edgar Kiro, Kyle Teal, right? All these guys that we've talked about, to me, are they ready? I don't know. I'm not there every day. I'm not part of the organization, so I don't know. But I know at some point, sooner rather than later, you're going to have to get them up there and get them some experience. So how do you do that? How do you manipulate that to make it work for yourself, the player, and the organization? That's a Chris Getz question. But yeah, I want to see these guys too. But my question is like, I always bring this up to people and people say, what are you talking about? Noah Schultz, number one left-handed pitcher in baseball, right? This is his third year of pro ball, third full year. He's never pitched in a fifth inning of baseball in pro ball. He's never pitched in a fifth inning, right? I'm not talking like the ninth inning, the fifth inning of a game. How is that possible after 3 years? I know we take it slow with pitchers. We don't want them to get hurt, but at some point you got to take the reins off and let guys go, don't you?
Well, I agree with that because I think the Sox organizationally tend to keep guys down a little longer. I don't know if that's just how they feel about whether or not somebody's ready, but, you know, Colson Montgomery, we understand there's an issue there with the back, but at some point, I just wonder when the diminishing returns happen for keeping somebody at the minor league level for too long. I know that's a crazy thought. You would know better than me, but I agree with you. At some point, you're going to have to get roughed up in the big leagues in order to learn how to function in them.
Yeah, so everyone fails. Not everyone's Mike Trout. Even Mike Trout got sent back down, I think. So you have to learn how to fail before you can learn how to succeed, especially at this level, because guess what? It's the best players in the world, and they're out there trying to kick your butt every day. So you have to figure it out, and there's no better teacher than having it happen to you and learning and then coming back and being better from it. So at some point you have to do it, but then I look at the Orioles who hold these guys down forever and ever and ever, and they have a million prospects, and they don't trade them, and they just keep them in AAA. I don't know. I don't know what the right way to do it is. I just, when they're ready, get them up there, give them a shot, and see what happens, because you can trade some of your guys, hopefully, and get other prospects and make this an organization that can run well for a long time.
Well, and I also think there's something, this is emotional for me, but I also think there's something to being able to give fans something to cheer for with somebody they've been looking to see now on opening day. Like, that's a possibility. There's no big incentive now. There is still a slight incentive to keep some players down, or that service time angle is still there. But when you can bring somebody up and have the fan base be excited about a young person that they've seen grow in this org, I think that there's something to be said for that too. It gives a little extra buzz. It gives the fans something to cheer for as well, and the rest of the team.
Well, what else do the White Sox fans have to look forward to besides having a better record than the Cubs right now? The young players, right? Isn't that what we've food? Yeah, they got good food. Although I hope the birthday cake milkshake. I was kind of disappointed in the campfire when I had it last year. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be when I saw the photos and I got one. I was like, eh. You know, so I hope the birthday cake one is better this year. But yeah, the young players, what have we heard for the last 2 years now from the White Sox? Prospects. I want to see the prospects and how they develop. So let's see where it goes. Hopefully it works out.
I want to know your thoughts on Luis Robert Jr. and what you think lies ahead for him as a guy who obviously has had some downtimes, had some injuries, but he looked good this spring. And the Sox, obviously, they need to trade him, but how important is it that they get him off to a healthy start? I mean, I guess he's in control of that. But that they get quality back for him ahead of this trade deadline as they continue to rebuild?
Well, I tell you what, they need him to get off to a good start. If he gets off to a good start, there'll be teams knocking down the door to Chris Getz and the White Sox to get him on a contending team, because he can do everything when he's right. And so I think it's a huge key for him to get off to a good start and stay healthy. If he's healthy, he's going to put up numbers. He's going to do special things. The key for him is he hasn't been healthy except for really 1 year. So it goes back to the question of how do you keep him on the field and how do you keep him in the lineup? If they figure that out, listen, I think he's going to be special. He won't be here all year. He won't be in Chicago all year, but he'll get him something back that can help them win in the long run.
And we know he's batting second behind Miguel Vargas, who I also am paying big attention to, AJ, this season, given that he was the big centerpiece of the three-team trade between Dodgers, Cardinals, and the White Sox. And we've seen how Tommy Edman really changed that deal, what he's doing with the Dodgers team now. So I feel like Vargas becomes the guy you focus on, trying to figure out how that worked out for this team.
Right or wrong, right? That's what happens when you're involved in a big trade. right or wrong, everyone looks to see where you're at. And the two, I don't even remember the names of the other two guys they got back. But, yeah, Vargas is the guy everyone's looking for to have a big year. Heard good things about him in spring training. We'll see. We'll see. The Dodgers don't get – you know, the Dodgers got what they wanted in Kopech, right, and Tommy Edman to help them win a World Series. The White Sox need to find those guys that can help them get back.
Speaking again, what you want to help you win, big deal that was made, obviously, to get Kyle Tucker for the Cubs. You got to see him for a couple of games. Didn't do a whole lot till the very, very, very last at-bat where he got a double. I'm curious as to what you think of Cam Smith, who they gave up in that trade, being the opening day outfielder for the Houston Astros, and if the Cubs may have gotten this wrong at all.
Yeah, listen, it's too early to say that. Kyle Tucker's a special player. Let's just say that now. He is a special player, a guy that can win an MVP. Is Cam Smith going to be a monster in this league? He's got the chance to. I don't know if you've ever seen Cam Smith in person. He is huge, and he is jacked. Okay, so let's also say Kyle Tucker. You're going to go out and get a guy like Kyle Tucker. Now, I'd like to see the Cubs extend him for a long time. I don't know if that is going to happen. But you give up Cam Smith, who's obviously in Houston starting in the outfield. It's too early to say they gave up too much for him, because Kyle Tucker is an unbelievable player. Let's not say it's two games. It's only two games, okay? Kyle Tucker is going to be just fine.
No. I wasn't saying that was the case. I was saying may it have been a mistake if Cam Smith turns out to be this guy who's a multi-time All-Star and you only keep Kyle Tucker for one season.
Well, if you only keep him for one season and then that becomes Cam Smith, yes. But it's the price you pay to get a player of Kyle Tucker's caliber. He is one of the best top at least 20 hitters in baseball, if not. You might even be able to make an argument. He's top 10 hitters in all of baseball when he's healthy and right. I mean, he's in the MVP discussion the last few years. He plays a great right field. He hits righties. He hits lefties. He hits hits. He hits doubles. He hits homers. I hate this when people say, oh, did they give up too much? No, because to get a player like Kyle Tucker, you got to give up something. Now, again, I want to see him sign Kyle Tucker to a long-term extension. We'll go from there.
And then, AJ, as a former player, what are your favorite memories of opening day?
The nerves, the pomp, the circumstance, the just how much bigger it feels than every other day, even though it's just one game. And I think the overreactions are the best. Like you guys are talking about the Cubs are 0-2, and you know, poor Cubs, and woe is me, but you know, woe is them, and whatever. But listen, it's the circumstances, it's the pomp, it's the buntings are, you know, around the field, and you know, you get a special first pitch and the flyover and everyone's excited. And then you get to the second game and all that's gone. And you're like, wait, oh, now we're back into the grind, right? So first day's great. You're glad when it's over. And then the second day comes and you're like, okay, back to reality. Now I can just get into my groove and play baseball.
Hey, for the record, I think our biggest concern about the Cubs after those two games was seeing a lack of offense, especially after game one.
They faced two pretty good guys, though. Let's just say they faced two pretty good guys.
All right. Well, they face another pretty good guy in game three in Zach Gallen tonight. So if they struggle against him, now I'm of the belief it's going to be okay. It's three games. But you know how it goes with the snowball of offense not happening. You're wondering, is the offense going to happen?
Agreed. And they got lucky they got, though. They don't even get Corbin Burns. They missed the best fifth starter in baseball. You guys should be calling Torrey Lovello thanking him. It's early. It's a long ways to go. Every team goes through a two-game losing streak, a three-game losing streak. The best teams in baseball all do it. It's just when it happens at the beginning of the year, everyone's like, oh, no, they're never going to win a game. Calm down, everybody. Take a deep breath. It's going to happen.
I don't know if you've seen the Cubs' schedule out of the gate, but it is very difficult, loaded with more Dodgers, by the way, and the rest of the NL West, plus some AL West teams. And I'm looking at the schedule saying if you get through the end of April and you're not at least, I don't know, 14-17 or 13-18 at the worst, you're going to be digging a pretty big hole. How tough is that on a team to have to face a daunting schedule from jump?
You don't look at it like that as a player. You just say you play who you play. You don't look at it and say, oh, no, I got to play the Dodgers or I got to play the Padres or I got to play the Giants or whoever, I got to play the Mariners. You don't look at it like that. You just look at it and say, we got to play these games and we got to try to win them. So I understand it. Yes, scheduling matters. But there's an old saying in baseball, you can't win a pennant in April, but you can lose it. I don't think the Cubs are going to lose the division. You know, if they go 13-18, 14-17, they're going to be just fine because guess what? They still have 13 games against every team in their division. And as we talked about, it's not the greatest division in baseball.
No, I would say it's out of them, perhaps – the most wide open outside of the AL West. AJ Pierzynski, thank you so much for joining us. Happy opening day. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I got one question. I have two questions for you. One, what do you guys think the reception is going to be for TA and Moncada when they get introduced and take the field and get their first at bat?
Well, Moncada's not going to play today, but might play on Saturday. I can tell you, T.A. is going to get his. He's going to get his due.
People will clap for him, for sure. I was thinking about that, too. What do you think?
I hope so. I hope. But listen, did he leave on the greatest note? No, he had a bad year, and he left. Right? But he gave everything he had. He won some batting titles. He's an all-star. He helped lead kind of the resurgence of this team in 20 and 21. So I hope that he gets a nice ovation from the White Sox crowd when he's introduced today. And when he gets, when he gets his first at bat, I hope they give him a nice ovation.
I do too. I think that that's the right thing. You said you had two questions. What's the other
one? Oh, you guys didn't even bring up March Madness. I mean, I'm disappointed in you guys. I know it's opening day, but I mean, I've been doing a media tour today like Rob Manfred. So, I mean,
who you got winning it all, AJ? Who you got winning it all?
Really? You're really asking me this question? I mean, come on.
I have to ask.
I mean, come on. Yes, and I know. And they make fun of me because I have my name on the back, but yes, I do. And then before I go, I want to also say, I want to invite you guys, City Cruises. I'm doing a thing with City Cruises. Me and Ozzy are doing three in June, July, and August. Come out. It'll be celebrating the 05 3-hour sunset cruise. Me and Ozzy on all three, Creedy on one, Pasednik on one, Jermaine Dye on one, drinks, 4-course meal, sunset cruise off Navy Pier, hornblower. Let's go. CityCruises.com. Come. Let's go, White Sox fans. Show up.
Okay. Booze cruise with Ozzy and AJ. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for telling us. I had seen posts here and there, so thank you for bringing that together for us.
Oh, let's go. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun. And I think it's June 29th, July 27th, and I think August 24th are the 3 days.
Oh, that's so cool. So you guys are spacing it out, too. Okay. I'll let them know. We will, too. Absolutely. Thank you for bringing it up, AJ.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me on. And, go White Sox.
Thanks, AJ.
And happy baseball season, and good luck with your bracket. The great AJ Pierzynski. Love talking to him on foul territory, joining us on the Circus Sports Hotline. And coming up next, we do this every year. It's customer service. We always want to know not only what's new at the ballpark, what can you bring in? How's it going to go down? Is the food really that wild? Oh, no. They're here.
Oh.
The cake shakes are here. Brooks Boyer joining us with what you need to know at the ballpark coming up next on The Score.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Do you know what the title is of this song, Brooks Boyer, the Executive Vice President, Chief Revenue and Marketing Officer of the White Sox?
Yeah, we all bring the milkshake to the yard.
He brought us milkshakes from the yard, and they're better than yours.
Yeah, if you're on Twitch, you can see it. It's going right now.
I mean, and they're selfie worthy. They are. The pinwheel cookie is so cute.
It is all sorts of different colors to make sure that we make sure all the colors are represented from the pinwheels that were in the old ballpark and in our ballpark now.
I know that you don't want to. It's not a good thing when people joke about the campfire milkshake being the MVP of the season last year.
Who do you think started that joke?
That was you?
That's me.
Are you serious?
God, I have no idea.
That's called good marketing.
Look, we have a great base of White Sox fans and people that come to Chicago from all over the country, and if we can provide them some incremental value or to be able to come to the ballpark and have a good time, because ultimately that's what baseball's about. You know, obviously we want to win baseball games and compete for championships. But if we're doing our job, people are wowed every time they come to the ballpark because they find something new or unique to do. And this is this year's addition. But we are not getting rid of the campfire milkshakes.
So now you got multiple milkshakes.
So we're long on milkshakes at the ballpark.
You're really underselling this thing. Talk about incremental value. This is not incremental value.
I love it.
This shake, delicious, by the way. I had it. Also, this chicken. What can you tell about the chicken sandwich? I just ate half of it.
Yeah,
like two
fuku
bites.
It's a fuku chicken sandwich. Got to be careful with FCC regulations as you go through that. But
it is
very unique. The habanero jalapeno sauce that's on there makes it so unique. It's not too hot. It's like the right type of hot.
Flavorful.
And the chicken is just so good. Available in the ballpark. We brought you some of the lucky dogs, the Korean dogs. That's the Flaming Hot Cheeto El Diablo, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
Colin, did I say that right? Yep, El Diablo with hot Cheetos, cheese stick. You know, anything on a stick at a ballpark,
works out.
In a helmet. It works.
We went over the...
It's carryable. It didn't shed, but one Flamin' Hot Cheeto, and I'm a klutz, so I klutz approve this.
But I don't think that's going to leave a mark.
It's fine.
We were going over the top 10 ballpark foods. I want an honest answer here. Mm-hmm. How much do you pay attention to the competition? What other ballparks are doing?
What we talk about is we talk about what you always think would be the biggest and the best, the Texas State Fair. What are they going to do at the Texas State Fair?
Hell yeah. That
our fans would like. Every conversation does start with what do we put on a stick, what do we put in a helmet. But we do. We pay attention to what is making an impact. And we like these things not to be just, hey, marketing. You know, that's why the Campfire Milkshake is back, because it's good. And you get the souvenir cup. So we pay attention to what a lot of people are doing, and we always try to raise the bar on ourselves when it comes to food and beverage in the ballpark. We'll put ourselves up against anybody of what we have to offer, and this year is no different. We may have raised it a little bit higher this year, which is kind of fun.
No, I actually think you did, because, you know, I've been loving Sox Park food since Elotes. So at the rate, you know, like Elotes was like version 1.0. I feel like we're like a super
graduate, last
level of the boss level of the video game. That's where we're at right now. You talked about the hot dogs on the stick that come in. There's really cute packaging, by the way. I love the box that they come in. We've got the souvenir cup to celebrate the 125th anniversary. But I was saying earlier, even like the Shy Italian looks really good. Like you guys really, I think, how many new foods are there that you introduced to everybody?
It's usually about anywhere from 10 to 15 on a per season basis. We're so lucky to have partners in Delaware North and Levy in the ballpark. So Levy has our premium areas. Delaware North has our general concessions. So we can tap into, with those two, they're everywhere. So they know what's going on and what's new, what's hot. And, you know, we've created something with the milkshakes. You know, it's going to be tough to top this one next year, but we'll start thinking about it now.
I'm sure you'll come up with a way. I want to know about the process, though. Is it just those companies that you mentioned bringing things to you? Is there a taste test process? I want to know how do you get from spring training to opening day with the food?
You want to know what's on the cutting floor, right?
Yeah, like
what doesn't make the cut? We have done that in the off season. We have a head of food and beverage. His name's Ross Verando. One of the things that we have this year is a bubble waffle that has chicken inside of it, but then you can go the sweet side, and it has like strawberry, chocolate, whipped cream, so it's like a dessert. So it's like the sweet and the savory. And that started, I happened to be with my wife at Universal Studios, and they had a crepe cart. And, you know, I'm not a big crepe cart, but a crepe guy. But she ended up getting one, and you could hold it in your hand, and you could walk with it, which that works for a ballpark. So I texted Ross and said, hey, we got to figure out how to do something. And by the way, it was really good. So Ross came up with the bubble waffle concept and worked with Delaware North and did it.
That was part one of my question. Part two, which is a really important part. How do I get an invite to the taste test? That's all I need.
Listen, there was a media day that you guys skipped.
No.
You were invited.
You had it in the middle of our show. I know this for a fact.
Yeah, it was.
Have the show from the tasting.
Oh.
Why didn't we think of this?
Mitch can afford that.
Ryan Porth is right here.
We can afford that. We can afford that.
See, this is why we bring the closer.
See, we have
Brooks Boyer, the closer. This is also a time where we do ask you about the logistics, though.
Right.
What can we bring into the ballpark? What can't we? What do we need to know about security? What can you tell fans about how to prepare for not just opening day, but every game moving forward?
Right. Well, yeah, tickets are still available. So, number one, get your tickets. Plenty of tickets available this season, including opening day, if you want to swing down for a 3:10 first pitch. It's a clear bag policy, so you're going to have a clear bag to get in. Your phone is your ticket, so your tickets are going to be on your phone, easy to get in to the ballpark and then be able to navigate the ballpark. So not unlike whether it's United Center or Soldier Field. We all kind of, Wrigley Field, we all have the same rules.
And also, I have a friend who came up here, and he and his buddy got the ballpark pass.
Yeah.
So he's very excited. So they're going to check it out, but they really like that concept. How did you come up with that, and what can you tell people about wanting to get the ballpark pass?
Well, the ballpark pass, what it is you pay a certain amount of money for the pass, and I think our pass was around $100. And what that ballpark pass got you is every game in March, April, and into May. That day, you're offered a ticket to come to the game. You can accept the ticket. You don't have to accept the ticket. So some people don't know exactly how many games they're going to get out to, but if you come to all of them, it's an unbelievable value. If you come to 10 of them, it's an unbelievable value. So it's just a good way to know I have a ticket for the game if I want to go, but if you're not going to be able to go and you decline the ticket, it's not like it's hitting your wallet too bad. So we are looking at a potential ballpark pass for the summer months and see if that can be something that is of interest to fans, because it was a big seller for us.
When you look at where you are with planning out the nights, now you have different nights for different things. I know D. Rose is throwing out the first pitch tonight, or this afternoon, I should say. What are the biggest things that you guys are excited about this year on the calendar?
For sure. 125 years of White Sox baseball, we're celebrating every era. So from a giveaway of a Charles Comiskey bobblehead to the Bill Veeck era, to the 05 guys, we have a Dick Allen bobblehead that is like the Sports Illustrated cover where he's juggling the baseballs
speaking my language.
There you go. So
such a cool cover.
I encourage people. We even, for those, there may be some football fans that listen to the score.
Just a few.
You got to go check out the Dicka vest. It's worth it.
There's a Sox night with a Dicka vest as the giveaway.
Pull it up. WhiteSox.com/promos. And I think people will like our giveaways. We have promotions throughout the year. Signature fireworks nights, kids days on Sundays presented by Coca-Cola. Just all sorts of fun for everybody at the ballpark. You know, we can't control what happens between the lines when grown men have a round ball and a round bat, but we can control the experience, the atmosphere outside of that. We try to wow White Sox fans as much as we possibly can.
They got a 1920 jerseys hoodie.
No, they're awesome. The giveaways are fantastic. I'm really sad that I missed the 94 sweatshirt. That was like one of my favorite all time. The Hawk clock, of course, yep. The Hawk nesting doll, but also the 94 sweatshirt. The kids loved that sweatshirt. I don't look as cool as they do, but I know that was one that was really popular.
And you know where you guys would see all of these promo items live and in person? Is that the media reveal where you guys will be broadcasting next year, apparently?
That is the plan. I'm putting it in my calendar.
How did we not think of this? We're not good at the selling part. Yeah. We needed you for that. Also, I want to point out that you guys are going to have a new studio, CHSN. Mm-hmm. Our partner is going to be there. What can you tell us about this studio? David Haw already stopped by. I want to see this thing.
David Haw is on his way over to the studio right now. We took a massive suite that was up on the 400 level, and we thought it was important with Chicago Sports Network that we bring the pregame shows to the fans. So if you see Bulls or Blackhawks, that studio is in the atrium of the United Center. Ours is now up on the 400 level. Fans, unless the suite is fully rented out, fans will be able to go up and watch the pregame and pregame show with Ozzie and Chuck, and it overlooks the field. So we thought it was important to have them at the ballpark to be able to interact with fans and to give people a new viewing experience. We're excited. Today we'll debut Brooke Fletcher and Connor McKnight as part of our broadcast teams. And we're really looking forward to our fans being able to engage with CHSN. We are on DirecTV. We are on DirecTV Stream, Fubo. Still working on trying to get a Comcast deal done. But there is an opportunity to get a direct-to-consumer product, or if you're old school and you're willing to put an antenna, plug it into the back.
That's how I watch every game.
Yep.
My cable company has it, so I just changed the channel.
So you're good. Yeah, just change the channel.
Straight off the
but,
antenna.
Yeah, so you know, that's a great way to watch it. So there are plenty of ways to watch CHSN and see whatever Ozzie and Chuck are doing up in the penalty box.
No, I love it. And I do like to have that aspect behind where you get the field. I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Brooks, anything else you want to tell us before we got to go?
No, just super excited. First of all, thanks to the Score for everything they're doing to promote White Sox baseball. And, yeah, come visit us. We encourage everyone to come visit us. And even if you don't like baseball, come for the food, stay for the baseball.
Now, it is always a good time. It's great to see friends again, too. 108 crew is here and a bunch of fans I know. So, Brooks, you've just made this the really sweetest inning of the show possible. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys. Go Sox.
Brooks Boyer, the Executive Vice President, Chief Revenue and Marketing Officer, and you see why, the man behind the milkshakes. Always nice to have him on. LeBron James was not done with his conspiracy theories, by the way, on Pat McAfee yesterday, so we'll play one for you next on The Score.
You know, I've seen I see a lot of too. Like, I seen Brian Windhorst on one of these shows not too long ago. Like,
you guys played together in high school.
Says he's like my best friend. These guys are just weird, but
wait,
Wendy,
it was our enforcer, huh?
Knew it.
The Score Midday Show, 10-2 on 670 The Score.
I'm so happy. The cake shake is amazing. I don't even know what to do with myself. I'm just gonna enjoy all of this. This cool Korean dog is just sitting here in front of us. I don't know what to do. We have radio to do. Okay, so this is pretty wild.
It's not that wild. Came out.
Yes, it is.
Which part?
Here's the thing. We all have NBA conspiracy theories, I feel like.
What's your favorite NBA conspiracy theory?
My favorite NBA conspiracy theory was the basketball reasons trade, the David Stern, you know, the original Chris Paul trade.
Oh, well, that's mine. I should have said mine and then asked what's yours. That's literally mine.
But why is it your favorite? My favorite is I just think that the NBA didn't want it to happen. Also, no, with a Pau Gasol trade that made no sense.
No, the NBA definitely did not want that to happen.
What the heck is basketball reasons?
They want competitive basketball everywhere. They want parity or the idea of parity.
They couldn't do that. That was like a one-time thing. They realized that they couldn't ever call that again. Why is it your favorite conspiracy?
Because why would you stop Chris Paul from going to LA?
It didn't make any sense.
Because guess what? They didn't stop Chris Paul from going to LA. See? You see.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, what also, I feel guilty saying this, but he is throwing out the first pitch.
Derrick Rose?
That was a 1.4% chance. Wasn't it? Wasn't it 1.4?
It wasn't a 0.4% chance of Derrick Rose coming.
You don't think that was a... And I'm not the only one who feels that way about that particular...
Who else feels that way?
Apparently LeBron James, and he had more about himself.
Listen, man, during the ball drop, you know, during the lottery drop, Cleveland got the number one pick. I just don't think that was. Yeah. That was just,
whoa! What are you?
What a coincidence!
Saying? Don't you think
Wemby with the Spurs? Man, that was a coincidence.
Oh my God!
Let's keep
LeBron home. You know what? Patrick Ewing to the Knicks. You know, Derrick Rose to the Bulls. But I understand the assignment, guys. I had to make sure that, you know, I had to do my part. I didn't want to be a up. I just didn't want to be a up, man. Like.
Okay, it was 1.7% chance.
So you're off.
So I shorted the Bulls 0.3%, but you know what I'm saying. And even LeBron knew what we were saying. Do you really believe that? That it was rigged for him to go to Cleveland? It makes a lot of sense.
I think it can go either way. I think when he went to Cleveland, they were like, of course he's in Cleveland. That makes sense. But now what we know about conspiracy theories in general and how we feel about them and how we embrace some and reject others, it makes you go, gives you the Layla Brahimi eyebrow raise, if you will.
The people's eyebrow?
People can't do that. I can't do that.
I got a turtleneck on like The Rock. I'm just missing the chain.
And the fanny pack.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about the fanny pack, didn't you?
B96 is giving some out. They're here today.
Fanny packs?
Yeah, we got to get Carla a milkshake.
Oh, I'll do a fanny pack.
I can't believe that.
No, but LeBron said a bunch of wild stuff. He said that Giannis in the 1970s would score 250 points also.
I heard
in a game. That's what he said.
Okay, I hate to say this because this also means that we're a certain age.
What do you mean?
Is LeBron also just getting to old man don't care talk? Like, is he just getting to the point in his life slash career where he's like, I don't care anymore. Like, this is who I am. This is how I'm playing. And I've had enough time in the league where I can say some things.
When you say I don't care, is it I don't care about what, though? Like, I don't care because I don't care what people think who I wouldn't ask their opinion anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe he feels the same way. When you're a billionaire, I told you, billionaires move different. They float. They don't use their legs. They float.
They just levitate.
Yes.
It's so true.
Did you see the remake of what's the movie that he remade?
If it's a movie, the answer is probably no.
Yes, House Party. The remake of House Party.
There's a remake of House Party?
Come on, Layla. Come on. It was bad, but also, it's crazy. Like, it's crazy bad. Like, bad and it's crazy at the end. Like, wait, what? The Illuminati?
What?
Sorry, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
That's the end of the movie?
It's kind of the end of the movie.
It went, wow, what a left turn that
It
took.
Was a bad movie, but it was interesting, but it was a bad movie.
House Party Illuminati.
Yes, with LeBron, featuring LeBron James.
And who else? Cameos?
There were cameos. I can't even remember.
Was Jay-Z in it?
No. No.
How did Ray know exactly what I was saying? How did you know? Yeah. Ray's just over here cackling. Normally we can hear you laugh through the soundproof glass.
But
you're
yeah,
having to mute your laughs, aren't you?
The conspiracy theory thing is, yeah. Yeah.
But for NBA, it's one thing for us to have the NBA conspiracy theories, but you're never going to make me get rid of them when LeBron James also has them.
Everybody has a mic in front of them now. That's the difference between now and 20 years ago when everyone has a camera, a video recorder, a microphone in front of them, and they carry them around in their pockets. And if you don't go into your settings and change your settings, it's always recording what you're saying, you and your friends.
Yeah, so all of that to say, I also am very happy to know that fellow actual NBA players also believe in conspiracy theories about the NBA. Like, that's it for me. Now I'm never getting rid of mine, ever.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your biggest non-sports conspiracy theory?
MH370, man. You tell me where that plane is.
I don't know where that plane
is. So there are a bunch of people on that supposedly crashing plane that were part of a semiconductor firm in Austin, and the quicker the semiconductor, the quicker to what?
I don't
Artificial
know.
Intelligence.
Oh. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You asked.
The plane thing is like out of the Langoliers. I don't know if you remember that, the Stephen King.
No.
Yeah. Google it after the show.
I attribute part of my calmness sometimes in life to not watching a lot of scary movies or reading scary books growing up.
It's not scary. It's not scary.
Psychological thriller?
A little thriller-ish, but it was... Bronson Pinchot is stars in the movie version of the Langoliers.
Balky?
Yeah, Balky from Perfect Strangers.
So wait, what's yours?
We don't need to get Nat on the air.
What? That means it's wild.
It's a little wild. It's a little wild. I just... Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a good conspiracy theory.
No, there's not. Until there is.
Don't,
dun, dun, dun.
I would advise all of you at home, don't act on your conspiracy theories. Just let it ride and have your thoughts. But if you act on them, then things get crazy.
But if you don't believe in any of them, I also have questions for you. All right, well, we won't delve into that. A good place to go for this conversation, though, is Las Vegas. We transition with the afternoon show from Circa next on The Score.